Proverbs chapter 8, going to begin reading verse 1. You say, what happened to Proverbs chapter 7? Well, I dealt with the subject of purity last time and the strange woman, and that's what Proverbs 7 is about. And so Proverbs chapter 8, we're just going to move on to that, and beginning in verse 1, we'll read here in a moment here as the handouts go out tonight. Make sure you have a pen as well. Notice Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says, doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. Amen. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I wonder if we believe that. Interesting. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for this day. We're grateful to come to church tonight and open up your word. And Father, we come before thee as a needy people. I need thee as I preach thy word. Please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Lead and direct my thoughts and words. May your word have free course this evening. And Father, for those that are listening, I pray you'd enable us all to hear. Give us those ears to hear. May we have a heart that's receptive to your word tonight. Please remove any distractions from this room and from our minds tonight. And may your word again have free course. Bless the message now. Use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves Amen. In this subject that we're dealing with tonight. So help me, I pray. Help us all. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
On September 18th, 2019, a woman by the name of Isabel Grandick wrote an article that was entitled this, How You Can Learn from the Wisest Man in History. Who's that? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Or I thought, well, maybe she'll say Solomon if she's looking from an earthly perspective. But no, she's talking about someone else. Who's she talking about? She writes this, Socrates was one of history's greatest thinkers and is the father of Western philosophy. His way of viewing the world, even though it's 2,400 years old, is still so relevant today. In the last 2,400 years, our minds haven't changed. Socrates has so much wisdom on how one can unlock the power of their minds. Interesting. It's funny that Socrates left no writings of his own. His teachings actually come primarily from other authors that referred to him in their own works. But a short biography on Socrates tells us that Socrates, quote, attempted to establish an ethical system, listen closely, based on human reason rather than theological doctrine. He didn't need doctrine. He didn't need the Bible. His own mind could figure it out. He believed that human choice was motivated by the desire for happiness. Now, while Socrates did believe, according to the writings, in a superior being, he said that he was guided by some inward divine voice. And he challenged every moral absolute, questioned everything. You see, Socrates was a prime example of the wisdom of this world.
Right.
And we know what God says about the wisdom of this world.
Amen.
He says in 1 Corinthians 3:19 that it is foolishness with God.
Amen.
So what the world sees as wise, God sees as foolish.
Right.
Because it is. because it's not rooted in Him, in God. Now, for some time, we've been in this series that I've entitled Wisdom from Above. And the idea of this series is this. It's very, very simple. That there are essentially, for believers, two options when choosing how we are going to live our lives. There's really essentially two options.
Right.
We can live by the so-called wisdom of men, or we can choose to live by the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Which is it going to be? Now, we understand that the wisdom of men is the product of men's ideas,
right,
men's philosophies, men's experiences. And men's wisdom is an unstable foundation.
Right.
It is constantly changing. It is sure to eventually produce trouble and confusion and heartache and destruction. That's the end of the wisdom of men.
Amen.
It's interesting that near the end of his life, Socrates said this, "All I know is I know nothing."
Right.
Yeah, that's where man's wisdom leads you.
Amen.
That's where it's going to take you. The wisdom of God, on the other hand, is the product of our all-wise, all-knowing, omnipotent God, who is truth. He is the creator of all things, whose ways are perfect, and His wisdom is sure to produce peace and joy and the abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ promised.
Amen.
So it's really a no-brainer, if you will, which we should pick. You see, God desires for all of His children, every one of us, those of us that know Him as Savior, to live our lives based on what He says, based on His wisdom. This means not only knowing what God tells us, but also doing and living what God tells us. And so tonight I'd like to ask this question as we look at this passage here in Proverbs chapter 8. And I want you to ask yourself this question. I'll ask myself, are we living God's wisdom?
Amen.
I'm not asking, do you know God's wisdom? Because you could probably nod your head to a lot of things that you read in the Bible. The question is, are we living it?
Good.
Because that's what the wisdom of God is supposed to do.
Amen.
It's supposed to cause us to live out His wisdom. And so tonight I want to preach on this subject. The title is this, The Wisdom of Living God's Wisdom. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Now here in Proverbs 8, we once again find the subject of wisdom. Now 54 times in the book of Proverbs, we find the word wisdom. But here we see wisdom is being personified. Personification is a type of figurative language. You probably know this. Just bear with me for a moment. It's when we give human characteristics to something that is non-human. That's what a personification is. For example, we'd say something like this. The clouds danced in the sky. Well, clouds don't dance. That's just personification. Again, it's figurative language. We say things like the wind howled. Well, it's not really howling. That, again, is personification. Perhaps you said at the international banquet, like I did, that dessert is calling my name. Amen? Well, that's personification. Now, this is not the first time that God has used wisdom personified. Look back at chapter 1, a few pages back, in verse 20. Notice we read, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying," I'll stop there for time's sake. But there it is, wisdom personified. Now in chapter 8, God is doing it again. You say, why? He already said it. Well, we need it again sometimes. Amen. We need repetition. Again, God is once again using personification to try to teach us of the importance of seeking for and living by His wisdom.
Amen.
So tonight, let's look at several truths in our text about living God's wisdom. This is a great passage. It just really, as I was reading, and I said, it just outlines itself. This is very good. Thank the Lord for that. Notice, first of all, number one, the plea of God's wisdom.
Amen.
The plea, P-L-E-A. Notice verse 1, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the path. Notice she crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors, unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. So God is telling us that his wisdom, think about it, imagine it, picture it for a moment, is crying out to us.
Amen.
It is putting forth her, he speaks of it as a woman, putting forth her voice. Notice she's standing in the top of high places, the Bible says. Imagine in the busiest streets in the city and then also in the gates of the city where people come in and go out. And she is there crying out in all these places. What we read in verse 5, understand wisdom, be of an understanding heart. Can you see it in your mind? Here is wisdom going all around the city, heralding out the phrase, understand God's wisdom, be of an understanding heart.
Amen.
Notice who God is crying out to here. May I say it's not to angels.
Right.
It's not to devils.
Amen.
And it's not to animals. Look at verse 4. Unto you, O men... God is crying out to men. That's, by the way, is generic. It's all of us, mankind. And by the way, not just certain men, to all men. He's crying, oh, he says, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice, in verse 4, is to the sons of men. We read he's calling to everyone. He's calling to those in the high places. He's calling to go those in the places of the paths, according to verse 2. In other words, here's what I'm trying to say. God is crying out to, he's pleading with everybody, those who hold high positions in society, those that we would call the common people. He's calling out to the educated and the uneducated. He's calling out to the rich and to the poor and all those in between. He's calling out to the young and to the old, to the doctor, to the lawyer, to the scientist, to the teacher, to the college professor, and even to the high school dropout. He's crying to every man, woman, and child, hey, understand my wisdom, he cries out.
Amen.
He wants all of us to hear. Are we?
Good.
I got to wondering when I was reading this, and I was thinking, why would God have to do that? I mean, if it's a no-brainer that his way is the right way,
amen,
and it just makes sense that he knows everything,
right,
why would he have to cry out to us?
Good.
Why would he have to plead with us this way? Why wouldn't we wholeheartedly and without hesitation and eagerly desire to live by his wisdom? Why
Amen.
Wouldn't we?
Amen.
Well, I think there's a few reasons. The first one, notice if you would, is because of man's condition. We have a heart problem.
Amen.
You see, the truth of the matter is this. None of us, and I emphasize none of us, and I say that biblically speaking because he's crying out to all men here, none of us are naturally wise.
Right.
We're not.
Amen.
Well, I'm offended, preacher, because you said that. Well, let me give you some Bible verses then. Amen.
Amen.
Romans 3:11 says this, there is none that understandeth. Nobody.
Amen.
We don't get it. I heard somebody say we're thick a few moments ago. It's true. We are. We don't understand our condition. Jeremiah 4:22. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. That's God talking about us. Then notice verse 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. He's speaking to all men. You say, you said that, preacher. I know, I'm going somewhere here. Then notice how he describes all men in verse 5. Unto you, let me read them together. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple. There it is. Understand wisdom, and ye fools. That's how God describes us. Now, he loves us. I understand. He loves us. But we're simple, and we're foolish. Simple means this, someone who is easily deceived.
Right.
Someone who is easily drawn away. That's why he's calling out to all of us, because all of us are simple by nature. A fool is someone who lacks reason and understanding. This is our natural condition.
Amen.
And that's why all of us need God's wisdom. Remember, wisdom refers to the ability to discern truth from error, the ability to judge where something is right, whether something is right or wrong. It's the ability to know the difference between philosophy and vain deceit and the truth of God. And again, we can only get wisdom from God.
Praise the Lord.
Nowhere else.
Amen.
Well, I know a few smart people. Maybe you do, but wisdom comes from God. Proverbs 2:6 says this, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So again, none of us are naturally wise. Even as saved people, we don't have natural wisdom. That's why the Lord said in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And that's what we're to do. Why? Because we need it.
Amen.
So God cries out to us, because of our condition. But he also cries out to us because of man's, I put it this way, self-absorption. If you want to put it this way, just write the word pride or circle the word pride there.
Right.
You know why God cries out to us? Because we're a prideful people.
Amen.
You say, why do you say, what does that have to do with it? You see, in our Adamic nature, listen, this is in all of us. We think we don't need God's wisdom.
Right.
We think we can just do fine on our own. That we can figure this thing out ourselves, and we don't need help from anyone. We don't need assistance. We don't need anybody telling us what to do, where to go and where not to go, what we can and can't do, or how to live. We can just do fine ourselves. That's what we think. Now, we may not say it that way, but that's in there.
God help us.
It's a resistance to God's wisdom.
Amen.
You see, that attitude of I don't need anything, and I can do this, and I'm a self-made man, and I can figure this out. I'm so whatever my age is and so forth. I'm this age, and so I got this thing down. I know my age. I'm saying all of us. 58. Okay, there you go. I know. I don't look like it. Amen. But that's pride.
Amen.
That's what it is. And arguably, maybe not so arguably, but there's no sin more dangerous than we find in the Word of God than pride.
Amen.
Pride is the mother of a multitude of sins.
Amen.
Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Do you see where ignoring God's wisdom will lead us?
Amen.
I don't need God. Okay, pride goeth before destruction. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You see, pride is characterized by a self-sufficiency,
right,
by a self-absorption, by a self-centered attitude. You see, it's pride that caused the fall of man. Pride, that's why. You say sin. Yeah, I know sin, but the sin was pride. It is pride that keeps people from getting saved.
Right.
Someone hears the gospel and they either don't want to come forward or don't want to receive Christ as Savior. Why? Why is that? Most of the time it's pride. I don't want to humble myself. I don't want to admit that I'm a sinner. I don't want anybody to know that I've done wrong and I'm a sinner and now on my way to hell. And pride keeps people from getting saved. By the way, pride is the root sin to sins like adultery and pornography. It keeps people from, again, coming to the altar. It keeps couples from getting marriage counseling when they need it.
Amen.
I'm not looking for business or anything. I'm just saying. And it's pride that keeps people from obeying God.
Amen.
And living out His wisdom.
Amen.
I got this thing figured out. You know, if I were to characterize this world today, I would characterize it by that word pride.
Amen.
I would. Absolutely. I mean, this is the me generation.
Right.
I mean, think about it. People are absorbed with themselves. They're consumed with selfies. They're consumed with posting pictures of themselves online, telling everybody about everything they do throughout the day, as if we care. It's all about me. People publish their own books. They have their own YouTube channels and podcasts and blogs. It's all about me, baby. My will, my life, and my way. I often think of Proverbs chapter 30. And verse 12, it says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. I think that's this generation. That's where we are. But imagine God in His great love to all of us, despite our condition, despite our self-absorption, He still here is crying out to us, saying, hey, your way won't work. Follow my way. Get saved. Obey my word. Live for me. Apply my wisdom. Hey, you'll have a blessed life. But will we listen? You see, the greatest problem in the Christian life for me is that guy I look at in the mirror. Well, it's my spouse, or it's my kids, or it's my job, or it's this, or it's that. No, 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 stop right there. Great peace is they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them.
Amen.
The problem is us.
Right.
So we see, number one, the plea of God's wisdom. God is crying to all of us, follow my way. Then notice number two, not only the plea of God's wisdom, notice the perspective of God's wisdom. Here's what I mean by that. Look when we get to verse 8. Notice how God describes what He commands us to do. He says, hear. That's a good start, right? Hear, like listen. For I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips.
Amen.
All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Do you know that the world propagates the exact opposite message that this passage declares?
Amen.
Here's what I mean. The world says that if you're going to live by God's word, if you're going to be a Christian and live for God, boy, that's going to take all the fun out of life. That's going to be so restrictive. Oh, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't go here and you can't listen to that. If you're going to live by God's wisdom, and they don't phrase it that way, but they'll say it's a joy stealer. It's boring. That is so outdated. It's so old fashioned. It's so old school. That's for old people. That's for people who need a crutch. That's for people who have nothing better to do with their lives. That's what the world says. Yet the exact opposite is true. By the way, young person, you're going to hear that again and again from people.
Right.
I ain't going to church. Why? Because God said, oh, okay. Did you ever have any fun? Don't you do anything daring? Don't you do anything exciting? Well, yeah. Just not what you call exciting. Amen?
Amen.
You see, 2 Peter 2:19 says this, while they, these are the false teachers and false prophets, while they promise them liberty, that's exactly what they do.
Right.
Come on with us, have some fun. Man, you'll be free, no restrictions. You can do whatever you want. They promise them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, watch this, of the same is he brought into bondage.
Amen.
That's what the world's wisdom will do. It'll bring you into bondage. Amen. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard.
Amen.
Not the way of the believers.
Right.
The way of the transgressors. Notice God tells us in our text the things he tells us about his word. What he's telling us when he gives us commands, they are, in verse 6, excellent things.
Amen.
Look at the end of the verse. They are right things.
Amen.
Notice verse 7, they are truth. And righteousness in verse 8. And he says there is nothing in verse 8 at the end. There's nothing froward or perverse in anything God commands us to do. You see, for example, when God commands us to do things like be faithful to church.
Amen.
He does command that, right?
Praise
he does.
Lord.
Or tithe or witness to the lost. Or read his word, or pray, or he tells us not to listen to worldly music, and to dress modestly, and not to touch alcohol, and to stay away from worldly places and worldly people. When he tells us to stay pure until marriage. When he tells us for Christians to marry another Christian. When he tells us to work hard and be honest with people and love your neighbor as yourself. Understand, all of those things are good things. They're all right things. They're all excellent things. You see, what God tells us, when he commands us to do something in his word, it's always for our own good.
Amen.
It's for the good of ourselves, the good of others, and for his glory.
Amen.
But I want to ask tonight, do we really believe that? Or have we fallen for the wisdom of this world? Oh, God, I'll go to church tonight. I wish I didn't have to go. Oh, I gotta read my Bible today, you know. Preacher might preach on it. But we're supposed to enjoy the Christian
Amen.
Life. His commandments are not supposed to be grievous to us.
Amen.
It's all about our perspective of them.
Right.
How we see them.
You
see, living out God's wisdom is going to require two things. Number one is this, faith.
Amen.
Excuse me, faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Habakkuk 2:4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now if we're going to live by God's wisdom, listen, we have to live it by faith. You say, what do you mean by that? Let me explain.
Amen.
It means we have to truly believe in our hearts
right. That
God loves me.
Praise
you believe that tonight?
Amen.
That God knows more than me?
Amen.
I think so. That God knows what's best for me.
Amen.
And that God wants what's best for me. You see, if I'm going to live out God's wisdom, I have to truly believe those things. And I wonder if there's some young people here tonight. Do you believe that? Or do you find his commands and the rules grievous? Psalm 18:30 says this, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. You see, I don't have to understand the why in order to obey God.
That's right.
I don't. Now, many times he explains to us the why, but I don't have to understand the why.
Amen.
I just have to figure, well, he knows more than I do. He wants what's best for me. He loves me, and so I'm just going to go ahead and do what he says.
Amen.
But that takes faith.
Right.
It takes faith. But it also takes another thing. It takes fortitude. You see, if you're going to live by God's wisdom, then there's going to be times you're going to be standing alone.
Amen.
Standing alone. My wife and I, you know, that we're first-generation Christians. And there were many times that it was just me, her, and God.
Amen.
And that was it. Because our families thought we lost our mind. They thought we joined a cult. They didn't know what happened to us. We got weird. I mean, you weren't going to church before. Now you're going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings, revival meetings.
Praise the Lord.
What happened to you?
Amen.
You're throwing out your music? You're not watching this stuff? You're not letting your kids do this? Your girls are wearing skirts? What's the matter with you people? That's what they thought. And guess what? We had to stand alone. Now listen, my story is not different than many of you's. You know exactly what I'm talking about because you had to do the same thing. It takes fortitude.
Amen.
Because our lives will be dramatically different from the world. Dramatically different from the carnal Christian, from the casual Christian.
Amen.
You see, if we're going to embrace God's wisdom and say, yes, I am going to live by God's wisdom, understand, you're not going to be like the people you work with. You're not going to be like those you go to school with or your unsaved neighbors or your unsaved relatives and even, by the way, some saved relatives. That think that you've just taken this thing a little too far. A little too far. And that means sometimes standing alone. You willing to do that? I tell you, when it was time for church, when my wife and I had gotten saved, we were going through, you know, a lot of the changes and all that. We felt like the coming to church was like coming to a place with just like a breath of fresh air.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about? We come in and God's people and, man, we believe the same things. And, boy, finally somebody thinks we're normal, you know. Yeah, it was a great place to be. That's why church is so important, by the way.
Amen.
Because you go out in this world and you go in the workplace, you're going to feel like sometimes you're alone and nobody understands.
Right.
That's part of it. Paul understood that. 2 Timothy 4:16, he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me.
Amen.
The great apostle Paul. You'd think everybody want to be around him. No. Not with all those trials and difficulties and tribulations. They left. But then he goes on to say, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. See, you and God is a majority, right? Or a majority. That's what it is. 2 Timothy 1:15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. He got it. So let me ask you tonight, what is your perspective of the Word of God? What is your perspective of God's wisdom? Do you have the right attitude? Do you see that this is what God wants? He knows what I don't know. This is what He wants for my good and for His glory. Is a Christian life something you actually desire to live?
Amen.
Because that's the key to the thing.
Amen.
If not, maybe you better get your heart right.
Amen.
Because you're missing who God is.
Right.
He's our loving Heavenly Father.
Praise
that
you.
Wants to guide us through this world and direct us.
Amen.
But we have to embrace and live out His wisdom. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous.
Amen.
So we see, number one, the plea for God's wisdom. Number two, the perspective of God's wisdom. And then number three, and we're done, the priority of God's wisdom. Notice what he says here. He says, after he says, all the words of my mouth in verse 8 are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. Notice he says, they are all plain to him that understandeth. And write to them that findeth not knowledge. And notice he says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it.
Amen.
I like what he says in verse 9. They are all plain You know, God's word's not complicated.
Amen.
I know you could say, well, I don't understand some. I understand that. But his commands are real simple. They really are.
Amen.
It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. I mean, even a child can understand God's word and God's wisdom.
Amen.
Salvation is simple to understand. That, by the way, is the root of God's wisdom.
Amen.
Want to start your spiritual life? You begin with knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the wisdom of God.
Right.
Do you know you're on your way to heaven? Are you saved? Have you embraced God's word in the matter of salvation? Realizing that you're a sinner on your way to hell, that Jesus Christ came to this earth, went to the cross of Calvary, died for your sins, paid for your sins in full. And if you simply repent of your sin and trust him as your Savior, you will have eternal life.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It's simple. It really is. I mean, I don't know if you heard Brother Lockhart's testimony. He was just about not even 4 years old when he got saved.
Amen.
But he said, I understood it. Even a child can understand it.
Amen.
By the way, his commands are really plain and simple.
Amen.
If you're saved, you know the first thing he wants you to do is to get scripturally baptized.
Amen.
That's what he wants us to do.
Right.
When you believe, you get baptized. That's what the Word of God teaches. Well, I don't know. That's God's wisdom. Well, I don't understand. Why do I need to get baptized? I'm saved. Baptism doesn't get... That's man's wisdom. Use God's wisdom. That's what he wants from you. It's the first step of obedience.
Right.
I've never seen a strong Christian that wasn't scripturally baptized. Have you? I haven't.
Amen.
Then he wants you to join a New Testament church. Become a member. Remember, I want to float around. No, that's your wisdom. That's man's wisdom. God's wisdom is you get saved, you get scripturally baptized, and you become a member of a New Testament church.
Amen.
And then you serve in a ministry in the local church. And then you be faithful to the church services. You be faithful to giving and to witnessing and to reading your Bible and praying. God's way is not complicated.
Praise Jesus.
You know who complicates it?
Me.
We do. We do. And we complicate it with our lame excuses. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. I don't understand. I get scripturally baptized. I just don't like to get... I've had people who didn't want to get baptized because they didn't want to get their hair wet. Oh. Okay. That's okay. Well, I just don't want to do that. I just don't think I should join a church. I tithing's the Old Testament, and I just don't see that in the New Testament. Stop!
Amen.
It's simple. Don't complicate the matter.
Right.
You see, following God's wisdom really does not complicate life. It simplifies life.
Amen.
Because I let God make all the decisions for me.
Amen.
I don't have to wonder what I'm going to do on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. I don't have to try to figure it out myself. I know. If somebody comes to me and starts talking to me, or I come across a stranger, I don't have to wonder, what should I say to this guy? I should give him a track and witness to him. I don't have to debate about it.
Right.
When the offering plate goes by, I know what I'm supposed to do. I don't have to think about it.
Amen.
I don't know, well, how much should I give? Well, no, you tithe, and maybe you pray about, of course, our faith promise and so forth. But his command of giving is simple. But we have to pursue his wisdom.
Amen.
And count it as what he says in verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You see, we must count God's wisdom as being more important than anything else, than silver, than choice gold, or anything else in this world. You see, nothing should be more important in your life and my life than knowing, those of us that know Christ as Savior, than knowing God's wisdom and determining in our hearts to live out God's wisdom.
Amen.
Daily pursuing it. That should be in the forefront of our minds above everything else. The question is it? Is it? Are you and I, do we desire, even have a desire to live out his wisdom?
That's
We should. I know, hey, we all fall short. I get that. We do. But get what? Guess what? You ask forgiveness, you get up, and you move forward again. Keep going for God. But God is crying out to all of us. Don't get at the end of your life and look back and say, boy, if I only did this or if I only did that, if I only did what he said, things would be different.
Amen.
He's crying out tonight to you. Understand wisdom. Be of an understanding heart. It's right here in my word.
Amen.
Just simply live it out.
Amen.
And you'll find when you get to the end of the road, you're going to look back and say, I'm glad that I live for the Lord.
Amen.
And you'll look at all the blessings
Amen.
That he's given to you as a result of obeying his word.
Amen.
Living, again, the wisdom of living God's wisdom. Let's pray.